Hi, everybody. Thanks for downloading, tuning in to a new episode of the Phoenix MMA Podcast. It's definitely been a bit since the last one. Honestly, been so busy the last few months. It has been go, with competitions and constantly studying the updates of the sport that 2023 was a very eventful year for the gym and MMA in general. So and jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, jiu-jitsu, boxing. There was so many big fights, big matches across all combat sports. So actually a really cool time to be involved in the sport, because it seems like it's hitting another growth spurt. So, you know, you had the Forrest Griffin, Stephen Bonner, the Ultimate Fighter TV show growth spurt. But earlier this year with the merger deal, the TKO deal with WWE and the UFC, combined with ESPN, combined with Francis Ngannou and Tyson Fury crossover, all of the Paul brother crossovers, Conor McGregor constantly in the news, not fighting, soon to return, and the influx of new champions, a lot of new UFC champions as well, and also an influx of fighters from different regions, a lot of Russians and South African, and they're supposed to be opening up the market more to Africa and India. So it seems like the UFC, combat sports, MMA, jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, wrestling, boxing, it seems like combat sports are having another bit of a growth spurt. And this growth spurt seems like, from my perspective, from me training since 2002, this growth spurt seems to really be one that's propelling combat sports into mainstream culture more and more. When I first started, it was very obscure and very underground, or very, very niche. But yeah, now it's it's been doing it, but it seems from my vantage point that it's having another growth spurt, merger into just bigger things for all the things I mentioned, and plenty that I didn't mention. But this podcast will be a little bit of review of the year, some highlights we had, and then plans for 2024 for Phoenix MMA, and as a gym, as a team, what's the direction that we're heading. And of course, more things are going to pop up from this. Generally, I think my strategy that I use is I like to have create a framework or a skeleton, a goal list, a plan, and then just be aware that you're going to adjust on the fly with that. It could be that, for one of our fighters, it could be the goal that we want to get in 5 or 6 MMA fights and then look at a title fight. Could have a situation with John Jones winning his first title where you get on short notice. You know, one of our fighters wins 2 or 3 fights instead of the 5 or 6, gets an opponent drops out for whatever reason, and we get a title fight opportunity, and the matchup makes sense, then we take that. I think the smart thing is to have a structure and a framework so that you have goals that you're working towards, and then be prepared for the universe and randomness to happen, sometimes in your favor, sometimes not in your favor. Be prepared so that when a good opportunity does arise, you're already prepared, so you can take it. That's one of the cool things too with the sport, is that it moves very fast. There's a lot of working, moving parts. Title fights can pop up or land in your lap. Big events could come to town that you don't expect, and when they do, it's surprising, and then you're ready to take it. If you wait to start training or get into a fight camp or get in shape for a tournament, once the organization announces it, then it's going to be too late. 2023 in review. major highlights that we had this year as a gym and as a team. We'll go, we, as a gym and a team, we got fourth place at the, at an ADCC Open. It was ADCC Orlando. We had a very high, medal rate, on the amount of, percentage of, competitors that we took that medaled. So that obviously helped us a lot. That's why I'm, originally when the tournament was first over, it had us in the third place spot. So third place for the tournament. And I think what happened was they shuffled it and they calculated the points. We registered as an individual gym. So we're a single gym, either coming in third or fourth. But those team points are actually compiled and added together among multiple gyms to form a single team. So our team is Zenith. That's our international team. There's also Gracie Baja. That's why if you see a gym, there'll be Gracie Baja Nashville, Gracie Baja Franklin, Gracie Baja Spring Hill, Gracie Baja, Memphis. But they compete under the same team. Originally we had third and then they knocked us to fourth, but those top three teams were multiple gyms combining their points together, and we were a single gym, so that is difficult to do. And it was a good performance, fourth place as a single gym against first, second, and third were multiple gyms. So first place might have been 15 gems, 10, 15, maybe more gems combining their points together. But that's just part of the game, is how it goes. The reason why you want to join a strong team and you want to work together in a team if you want to win those large team trophies. So that's this part of the game, how it goes. More difficult if you're a single gem. We had some really cool stuff. This was the 2023 was a record breaking year for us. We had not one but two IBJJF world champions. The first to do it this year was Hunter Gregory. He won the Master One Gi Blue Belt IBJJF World Championship. Very difficult. Hunter had a large division. Get it off. I think he had five or six matches to win. So anytime you're having that number of matches, you definitely have to win, earn it. And the world championships have never been easy, but the world championships are just getting more and more difficult every single year. So it's not like a smaller local tournament or a small open somewhere where, you know, you have two matches to win. Large brackets of the world championships, and also the world championship selects for the most difficult, the most focused competitors. Very difficult to do, whether it's adult, Master 1, Master 2, Master 3, Master 4, Master 5. It selects for whatever the age category you're in, everybody who goes to the World Championships and is willing to fly to Vegas and spend all that money, you're selecting from the most dedicated people in the sport. And then we had our second world champion was Jackson Whitlow. He won adult Nogi blue belt world championship. And congratulations, Jackson, on that. He received his purple belt after that. With Jackson, it was undeniable. He had six matches and he submitted five of his opponents out of his six. And then I believe is his only match that he didn't submit his opponent. It was maybe 4-2 or 4-0. It was a close match, but it might have been 4-0, I think. It was a close match, but when you look at the score, it didn't necessarily look very close. With a 4-point lead for a jiu-jitsu match, but it was a tough match, that was a great performance by Jackson. He submitted a Division II national champion wrestler, a good college wrestler. I believe he's an All-American as well, and he submitted him in a little under 2 minutes with one of his chokes from his front headlock series. His front headlock series is deadly. If he gets a hold of your neck, even if you get space with your shoulder, his squeeze is on point right now. We had three ADCC Open Orlando champions. So we had three champions at the time. No team or gym from Tennessee. No Tennessean had won an ADCC Open bracket or division. My goal was to get the first for our gym to have the first champion from Tennessee, and we 3x that. We got three champions. The first ADCC Open champion from Tennessee was Kale Denton. Kale dominated. I don't think Kale got a point scored on him. Dominant performance. Then the second ADCC Open champion that we had was Alex DeRigge. I have to check. He might have not had a point scored on him as well, but he had dominant. I believe he had four matches, and in the finals, won by a large margin, and was pushing to get a finish on the guy, but had a little bit of blood time that paused the match. But yeah, it was a really good performance. And then our third ADCC Open champion, it was just time how it went. That was they were pretty close to each other too. Kale went first, then Alex. Like, Kale was in the finals, won. It was all of us celebrating. We're like, awesome. And then we're like, hey, in 10 minutes, Alex is up. He's going to win the next one. And then another 15 minutes, our third champion was Jackson Whitlow. Jackson had five matches at ADCC Orlando. And I believe he submitted, again, my memory, I'm going off memory, and we've had so many tournaments and fights the last few months, but I believe he had five matches. I think he submitted three of his opponents, but he can correct me if I'm off on that. But those are some of the major highlights when it comes to the biggest tournaments, the biggest events that we had this year. So, and when it comes to the biggest things you can do, ADCC opens, very big. The World Championships, the only thing bigger than the World Championships would be the ADCC World Championships. That would be like the Olympics of grappling and jiu-jitsu, and then the World Championships are the World Championships. But the ADCC is only every 2 years, and the World Championships are every year. But the ADCCs are significantly more difficult to win than the World Championships. Usually the ADCC brackets will be comprised of nothing but world champions for the last 5 years. Every person in the bracket will be a world champion over the last 5 to 10 years. So it's a tough, it's the only thing that would be more difficult. The ADCC Opens would be a level, obviously, below the ADCC World Championships. And they, when it comes to prestige and recognition, they would be below the IBJJF World Championships. When it comes to competition level, I've seen the competition level at some of these ADCC Opens be the same or just below the IBJJF Nogi World Championships. Just has more prestige, but I've seen a couple IBJJF World champions at the ADCC Opens, the ADCC Open in Dallas and Arizona. Saw a couple world champions get beaten the first and second round, so not even make it to the quarterfinals or semifinals. So other than that, the highest things that we could look at, things that we could, the UFC would be higher, 1FC, any major things like that, when it comes to MMA or Muay Thai. And we're still, when it comes to MMA and Muay Thai, we're still growing both those programs. It's a long-term project. Jiu-Jitsu is as well. We've just had more grapplers that have decided to fully dedicate to pro competition or high level competition. Several of our competitors are not doing it professionally, as in that's how they want to make a living, but professionally, as in competition wise, just advanced competition. They have careers. They have actual adult careers and jobs. They haven't just quit their job and only dedicated to jiu-jitsu. They still have a profession that they balance and a family they balance, but they're just looking to be high achievers. So deleting any of the wasteful things that buy up your time. You'd be surprised how much time you can carve out in your day or I guess how much time we actually waste. If it's important to you, you can carve it, you can make it. MVP for 2023, this one's undeniable, it's hard to top. The MVP for 2023 award would have to go to Jackson Whitlow, to win an IBJJF World Championship and an ADCC Open. Again, six matches of the World Championship, submitting 5 out of 6 opponents, and then 5 matches at the ADCC Open, submitting 3 out of 5 opponents. And then early in the year as well, he competed on Fight to Win. So Jackson won on Fight to Win. He then won at an ADCC Open, and then he won at the World Championships. So that's a very definitely an MVP performance. That's a very good that's a hard one to top. He's going to have to win the ADCC trials and go to the World Championships this year, to top what he did, last year. And then also kudos to him. That makes him the only Tennessean, to be an adult, IBJJF World Champion and an ADCC Open Champion. So that's, Jackson is the first person, first Tennessean to have both of those titles. So that's pretty legit. It's the two highest level organizations and being the champion of those two. And Jackson, you know, growing up in humble Tennessee. So Tennessee lots of times doesn't get a lot of respect when it comes to the combat sports map, wrestling, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, boxing, Muay Thai. I mean, really all the combat sports were not highly regarded. But yeah, that's so coming from a humble beginnings and proving that if you're training in Tennessee, you can make it to the highest level. There's lots of people will think that if you're not in a big city like a hotbed state, like something like California, Florida, New York, or Texas, that you can't succeed at the highest level. But yeah, you definitely proved that one wrong with this 2023 year for performance. So congratulations, Jackson, MVP 2023. We need to get you a gold ring. That'd be cool. Get a gold ring, MVP ring, every year to give to the MVP of the year. Let's see. To finish the year up as well, we had the Gogi promotion. So at the same time we had the World Championships, I went and competed, Hunter competed, and Jackson competed, where Jackson won. That same weekend, it's been a busy schedule. That same weekend, we had Elliot Kim and Anne-Marie Sharp fight. Elliot was an MMA bout. He won round one via standing guillotine. And if you train with Elliot and you do takedowns or standing work with Elliot, he will definitely go for that guillotine. The referee didn't see the tap, and so when the referee finally stopped it, his opponent was unconscious. So it was a dramatic scene. It was me and Hunter were in the hotel room screaming when it was happening. So that was exciting stuff. And Anne-Marie Sharp on the same card for a Gogi was the co-main event of the night. She won a dominant unanimous decision. It was getting close to where her opponent was on her feet, but she was taking so many right hands that it was getting close where a corner could potentially throw in the towel. They didn't throw in the towel. It was also getting close, I thought, to a stoppage as well, because Anne's right hand couldn't miss straight on her opponent's chin. Unanimous decision. It was an awesome fight, awesome performance, and right before Christmas, that was a great way for them to close out the year. Very successful. Really proud of everybody. And that's not I'm just going over the highlights of the year, not discounting any local tournaments. Any of the things that that we did at local tournaments. That's also it's difficult to compete at any level tournament. Just going over the biggest highlights, and I believe we had one of our children's students. I believe Eleanor won. She's our first youth student to win an IBJJF. I believe she won the Atlanta Open. And Eleanor, she's a little beast. I think Eleanor might be 6 or 7 years old. But that weekend, she won a wrestling tournament, and the following day, did the Atlanta Open IBJJF. So I believe she won a wrestling tournament, and the very next day won an IBJJF Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu tournament. She's a tiny little thing. Yeah, when she's in 10 years, she's gonna be if she stays with it, she'll be one of those kids that is 15, 16 years old. And is a blue belt, but submits adult black belts, and people will be confused, and they'll say, "Hey, how is this blue belt, this 16-year-old blue belt, submitting black belts? That doesn't make sense." It's, well, this is how it happens. You start training at 6 years old, and you're competing two times a month. By the time you're 16. You're gonna be tapping when it comes to hobbyist black belts or casual black belts that aren't actively competing, or they're not in the prime of their physical prime or the prime of their competition season. Look out for her for the next 10 years. She's probably gonna be a terror pretty soon. let's see. Okay, so review of 2023. So now going into 2024, some goals for the gym, for the team, what we're looking to do. So first, of course, beat last year's record. We got 2 world champions last year and 3 ADCC Open champions. So let's go. Let's go 4 world champions and 6 ADCC Open champions. That would be a good target. Just when it comes to that, I'm going to go through more bullet points on actual goals. Want to improve the entire gym skill level. And this is something I have noticed the last few months, when I'm trying to do a better job at, I'm going to try to roll with everybody. If I'm rolling in a class with you or a training session with you, I'll try to get, alternate where I even out the rounds so that I can really get to feel everybody's level. I watch everyone roll, and I can get a good, I can see a lot by watching, how you train, the reactions you have, how long do you pause, just by watching, but ultimately feeling, helps me, know where everybody's skill level is, much more. There's a lot of things that you can't see, and that, feel is, actually much more accurate. But also I want to do that so that I can give better advice to everybody. So I'll do my best to do that, and I want to improve the entire skill level of the gym, and which honestly, that's something I've noticed, just the last few weeks, alternating my rounds with everybody, is that even at a beginning white belt level, we've got a pretty good culture set up, and thank you everybody for helping me, because even the students who are coming consistently within, I've noticed students that started coming with only 2 months of training are actually doing very good. And even intermediate level technical or techniques. So only 2 months, you're not actually good at any techniques yet at 2 months of training. But what I mean by this is there's a lot of gyms and a lot of gyms I've trained in where white belts just flounder and kind of flop around for 5-6 months, just as like a sloppy mess. So thank everybody, because that's not just me. I'm teaching, but I notice it where everybody's helping each other out, and somebody that has 8-9 months experience when they're drilling with their partner, I'm noticing it when y'all help out and you're helping teach a technique or you're helping explain things. So the culture is doing really well, where it's like a very large research program. I listen a lot of dialogue too, what everybody's talking about. We are exchanging good things. So with that just makes it so everybody can learn faster, and that's why we're having some people with 2 months worth of training Like an example would be, if you're standing and somebody puts you in single leg X, I've seen, you know, people with 2 months of training, that are, when they're put in single leg X, they're immediately, clearing the feet and they're back stepping towards the leg that was in the single leg X. And that's really good. I mean, within like 2-3 months of doing that, even if they don't get the guard pass, just doing the correct reaction, to tell you, you want to know like the embarrassing truth. I trained for a few years, like maybe three years at least before, I knew to do that, or like, cause nobody taught me, none of my instructors knew to do that. So this is an example of how much faster you can learn nowadays, because information and the teaching level is so much higher, and the martial art, so much more has been created, and so much more has been hammered out and figured out what works here, what doesn't work here. When I first started, it was very much still in like a experimental phase where it was hard for instructors to say to do this in this position because they honestly didn't know. There had not been enough work in the position. Next goal, grow the gym, to prepare to get into a larger space, location. So that is our goal. Our goal is to expand and get larger. We had some offers. We had some things early in the year. So we're having, good opportunities, or everything's trending in the correct, way. This is when it comes to business, just like, sports things, you will get opportunities. Some opportunities will present themselves and then they'll fall through. And that's just how business works. That's how, everything works, to a degree. But things are trending in the correct way. The gym is growing. We're getting more and more students, we're attracting more and more, high level students, even though they might not have a previous martial arts background, just more and more high achievers, people that are my favorite type of people, super nerds that also like to train really hard. So it's trending the right way. And we want to keep, growing and expanding so we can prepare, to grow and expand as a gym. Okay. Next goal. I want us to place first at ADCC Open. So we got fourth place, we got third place, and got bumped to fourth place. My goal is I really want us to win in ADCC Open. So if we could get third or fourth place as an individual gym, what we're going to have to do with this, and the reason why I put the song up for this podcast, we are going to have to combine our efforts. Our international team is Zenith. And I'm going to go into it just a little bit later in the podcast, but I've been talking to my good friend, Joe Langford. He's a third degree black belt. Joe has actually taught me since I was white belt, blue belt. Joe started training in 1997. But Joe helped me through all my belt levels, white belt, blue belt, purple belt, brown belt, black belt, MMA. He's also a pro MMA fighter, helped me. So me and him have been, talking, and we're going to start organizing a team practice, between, our gym in Mount Juliet, Phoenix, and, Tennessee Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in Spring Hill. So we're looking to do that practice on a Sunday, one time a month. So monthly team practice. So what we'll get, we'll combine the two gyms, so that we compete in the large tournaments, under the international, our international team, Zenith. Spring Hill is also on the same team, Zenith. So we want to actually start building, a practice, not just open training session, but an actual practice, where we organize both gyms, so that we can organize for that monthly practice where we meet together, and the practices will have specific goals for what competition's coming up. Part of that as well is we want to have the team where we coordinate with each other so that we can go as a strong, large team to big tournaments, to these tournaments, and also so that we can support each other. It makes it easier for when it comes to hotel stay, because we can split hotels together, travel as well, helps out, et cetera. And also having for coaching and having extra teammates around you definitely makes the experience gives you a stronger base when you're there. When you have, you know, you're going to have be able to have a coach there. You know, you're going to be able to have teammates that can, you know, we can bring whether it helps with food or just makes it more affordable for hotel expense, because we can split hotel rooms together. And bring in multiple scales so we can check scales and coordinate and cut weight together as well. You definitely, if you need to cut significant weight, you want to have a weight cut buddy. And if somebody's just a really good personal friend, they might weight cut with you for a little bit, but the best weight cut buddy is going to be somebody else who needs to cut weight that's on the same team or one of your friends. So that you, you know, if you're going to be in the sauna for 2, 3, 4 hours, if you need to both cut weight, it helps. So we'll keep on going. So I want to place, yeah, first place at ADCC Open as a team. Let's see. This year we should be able to get our first start to finish. So first started training with us. We've had a couple other we've had MMA champions before, but they had started at other gyms, and I had been a trainer, but started other gyms and moved around multiple gyms. But from actual origin, started training first day with us. We should be able to get MMA champion this year. That's Xavier Cox. So Xavier, I've already talked to the Agogi promoter. Already gone over plans for strategies, plans that where I want Xavier to go. And was speaking to the Agogi, the promoter. We just need to get a couple good growth performances out of Xavier, and then he has a title shot at bantamweight. So this year, this would not surprise me at all if Xavier this year wins his first amateur MMA title. And Agogi is going to be our target for Xavier to get him there. Right now he's in wrestling season, so got to get back into get back competing in MMA and kickboxing once the wrestling season's over. But yeah, look out for Xavier to be the Agogi bantamweight champion this year. Next goal, state championship in wrestling. Halle Cox, that's Xavier's sister. And right now she's a junior. She's currently ranked 4th in state. When I looked up the rankings, it had her listed at 3rd. One had her listed at 3rd. One had her listed at 4th. Either one, those are both good rankings. But yeah, Halle also started training with us. She was a dancer before, but started with jiu-jitsu wrestling and Muay Thai with us. And wrestles at McGavick, and she's doing really well this year. Obviously, with her being ranked either 3rd or 4th, wouldn't be surprised if she places this year. She could have a jump and an upset and win a state championship this year, this season. But potentially, when she's done with this season, if she places but doesn't win a state championship, we'll get her in the spring and summer wrestling, competing all through the entire year, going into her senior year. So she definitely captures a state championship her senior year. Then the biggest test that we got on this list is going to be ADCC Trials champion. So for Team Zenith, we have the two top prospects that we have would be Alex Hernandez and Spring Hill, and then Jackson Whitlow with us in Mount Julian and at Phoenix. This is not saying that anybody else on the competition team has no chance or can't do it. Just that's us when it comes down to objective rankings. Alex Hernandez was the number one ranked pound for pound IBJJF black belt So he got first place. He got an award at the World Championships for that, and that was a marathon. I asked Alex, I think he said he might have, I asked him how many tournaments he did this year, and I think he said he lost count at 30. I think that's what the number was. But if you think about that, there's 52 weeks in a year, and if you lose count at 30. So for him to get first place, he was doing tournaments almost every single weekend. And if you follow him on Instagram, you would have saw him drive into Mississippi and then Florida and then Texas and then Ohio, back-to-back weekends. So he was doing a marathon to get that first place. So he was number one black belt. He didn't place the World Championships this year. He lost a close match. I was there for it, watching it, and he was frustrated with it, but he did a really hard weight cut for that, so I know that affected him. When you're doing a really drastic weight cut, it's really hard to perform 100%. But with him, me, Ray, and him talked about it after, and they were talking about this year focusing on the ADCC tournament, so ADCC, the trials and the opens, of course. So that'll allow Alex to go up a weight class. I think it's going to be really good for him because it'll put him up about, I think, about 10 pounds. So he'll be able to lift and eat and be a little bit thicker. I think his performance will be better and be healthier. And then Jackson coming off a record-breaking year for him, winning Fight to Win, ADCC Open, and a World Championship. He's on fire right now, so I'm really, really trying to get Jackson to do the trials, the West Coast trials. I know Alex Hernandez is doing the West Coast trials, trying to get Jackson to do the West Coast trials, because off of our team, Zenith and in Tennessee, of Tennessee, those are the top two prospects. So please, if you're hearing this and you're saying, "Hey, Corey, I'm on the team and you're not giving me enough respect," then please prove me wrong, and I will give you respect. So if you believe you should be on this list, just show it, and just come out and dominate. Say next one, there's at the ADCC Open or the ADCC World Championship. So the big one at T-Mobile Arena later this year. I think there's still tickets available for that. If you do want to go to that, there's a good chance the tickets are going to be sold out, but by that time, because I think they sold maybe 50% of the tickets, like a couple million dollars in like 30 minutes or 45 minutes or something, or an hour or something like that. But this is the thing that's really cool about this one. One, this ADCC is going to be at the T-Mobile Arena. It's the largest stage that jiu-jitsu has ever been on, larger than the World Championships when it comes to arena. This place is going to – T-Mobile is for – it's for Taylor Swift. It's for the UFC. But now it's ADCC is doing it. So this is really unprecedented. It's huge. And it's going to be great. I already have tickets to go watch the World Championships. But the day before the World Championships, they're going to have an ADCC Open. So that way, if you didn't win at the East Coast Trials or the West Coast Trials, you didn't qualify for the World Championships, you can compete the day before. And it's in the same location. So it's T-Mobile Arena. So I really want to have a good team for that to go. One, it'll be just a ton of fun to go to ADCC and be in Vegas. That'll be a really fun experience. But then the day before the World Championships, first day, get in there and compete. And who wouldn't want to compete in the T-Mobile Arena? Lots of jiu-jitsu tournaments are in high school gymnasiums and stuff. But this is, compete in the T-Mobile Arena would be pretty sick, and it's also cool to compete there the day before. Then you come back in the World Championships, you're competing in the same spot as the World Championships day before, or you're competing in the same spot as where Conor McGregor will be fighting Michael Chandler in the summer. So you'd be in the same spot, dude, and it'd be pretty cool. We have a PKB coming up in February. These are announcements throughout the year coming up, things I want to hit this year. So PKB is coming up. It's a kickboxing tournament. If you're a beginner when it comes to kickboxing, this is your tournament. Okay, if you haven't had a kickboxing bout, kickboxing bout in at an MMA show, or just a straight Muay Thai show, or kickboxing event, Muay Thai event, or boxing event. This is your first, your perfect first competition experience. They're gonna stop it earlier than they normally do, instead of letting you get TKO'd or standing 10 count or getting completely knocked out. They'll stop it when you take enough damage to get to that, start getting close to that 10 count. And honestly, if this was just available when I was younger, when I was looking to make my MMA debut, I probably would have done 10, 20, I probably would have done 20 or 30 bouts at the PKB if it was available before I did my MMA fight. I would have, because they're short rounds and they're controlled damage, you don't take a lot of damage. So you could compete, and this one is coming up in Tennessee, you could travel the exact same way that we travel for tournaments. You could travel for the PKBs. So, you know, if you go there, you get two fights on that weekend. You could then 3 weeks later, 3 weeks, 6 weeks later, go compete again. And you could rack up 10, 20 fights pretty quick. And then you would have that's killer experience, in that the PKB bouts do not count towards your MMA record. They don't count towards your amateur boxing record. They don't count towards your amateur kickboxing or Muay Thai record. So they're just pure experience. Yeah, great, great way. So I would definitely utilize that. It's on the front desk if you're interested in doing it. MMA debuts. MMA debuts. People that have been talking to me about making their debuts this year. Jackson Whitlow again. Kel Denton and Alex DeRiggi. So could look for those three's debuts. I know Alex has expressed some interest in it. We need to work on his striking. I've talked to him about the time that we need to put in, work on his striking, developing his striking. But Jackson, I've talked to him as well. Jackson's very strong, looking to get an MMA bout. We're looking at March for him, for his debut. And then Kale is also itching. He really, really wants to make his MMA debut, looking at March for him as well. And me and Kale have talked about it the last couple of years about MMA. Jackson, the last few months, last 6 months. It's the last year, honestly, it's been entertained and brought up. So already gone over those timelines. So that would be three potential debuts that you can look, MMA debuts that you can look forward to. And the reason why I put the Humbling River song is the next piece. We got really big goals. We are a very high school level gym. We're doing very well. But I do think that focusing our efforts and scheduling and prioritizing at least a monthly team practice where we can get the best competitors and athletes from both our gym and the best competitive athletes from the Spring Hill gym, and we can combine those so that we train together and we take the time out of our schedule to make sure that, again, an hour and a half, it doesn't have to be 5 hours, anything like that. We could be an hour and a half or 2 hour practice, and this could be for MMA, it could be for kickboxing, it could be for jiu-jitsu, could be for wrestling. But if we can pull our resources, we will double our resources. So, and there's several high level competitors, in Spring Hill. We have several high level competitors in Mount Juliet. So if we combine our practices together, it would be, and like I said, not just an open mat where it's, hey, you know, you show up to an open mat, you don't know who's going to be there. You get there and there's maybe one person, two people that you can work with a little bit, but because there's no type of team, practice atmosphere, there's no direction. So it's just kind of, you know, just kind of do what you want. And not very much, specific things need to get, or get actually, settled or worked on. Me and Joe Langford were talking about the right now, actually, before I started this, I was talking to him, texting him about the structure of the practice and structuring the practices so they focus on the specific tournament that's coming up, whether it's a EBI rule set, IBJJF rule set, MMA, ADCC rule set, and we can adjust the practices based off of what the rule set is. So, and also that'll help with, like I said before, traveling together as a group as well. I want to start collecting team trophies, so we do need to coordinate with each other. I've heard a few people talking about doing the Austin Open. I'm looking to do the Memphis Open. That's the end of February, for its IBJJF tournament. The Austin Open's also an IBJJF tournament. ADCC has said they've gave a tentative April and May estimate for when they're coming to Nashville. They said they're still working on booking the venue. But we want to get to the point where, again, we have the best from our gym, the best from Spring Hill. It's not the only Zenith gyms. There's a Zenith gym in Murfreesboro. There's a Zenith gym in Clarksville. A lot of the Clarksville, the guys that come from Clarksville are the fifth group special forces. So, several Green Berets, so they're always tough to train with. Yeah, if we can collect and pool our resources, we can get different looks, different answers to different problems, and also have a larger team. So numbers do matter when you're trying to win a team trophy, and numbers and support when you travel together also. It does give you a stronger psychological feeling. Teams that do this very well, New Wave, so John Donaher, New Wave, their team, they're only a single gym, but they're they're the mega team, but they travel very well, where they have a lot of their same competitors go to the same high-level tournaments. And then Pedigo, they do the best when it comes to having multiple gyms combined. Like New Wave's only single gym. They're just the number one gym in the world. The highest talent pool just happened to be all in the same gym. But Pedigo has their talent a bit more spread. They still have an HQ where I would say the majority of their talent is, but they have more satellite schools that compete under the same banner and combine together. They do that really well, where they travel well together. You can always see the Pedigo competitors because they wear the same uniform shirts and jacket, and then they support each other. So they'll have several people competing, and the whoever's not competing, they're going around supporting. So they have a good team atmosphere, team culture. So the goal is to do the same thing with Zenith. So we just have to actually be active. We can't sit back and think that somebody's going to do it for us. We have to be proactive and schedule it and get it going. So let's see. Joe Lankford is who I'm working with on this, like getting the practice together. If you have suggestions, feel free and give suggestions, or if you have certain things that you would like to work on or things that you would like to have addressed, let me know, and then me and Joe will talk about it, and we'll see how we can integrate it into the practice, the team practice. And then, like I said before, Joe's a third degree black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, pro MMA fighter. He's been trained since 1997. I started training with Joe, he was a purple belt, I think, when I started training with him, and I was probably a white belt. But even when Joe was a purple belt, I think he traveled for a year or so. He got held at purple belt for maybe like 7 years or something like that. 7-8 years, he was a purple belt. even as a purple belt, all the black belts in the gym would ask his advice or ask him to answer questions for them. So the belt rank, you would see black belts asking this purple belt, hey, how would you do this? Or he would be explaining stuff. So Joe's always been a big studier of techniques and instructionals and strategies. So it'll be a fun project, and be fun to get everybody together, training together, and get a good team atmosphere and like team cohesion when we're competing at tournaments would be cool. That's all I got for this episode. Other than that, I plan on doing more Phoenix MMA podcasts, one that I want to do, that I'm excited about doing, because I need something that gets me excited. is for the UFCs, the big ones. I'm not gonna do it for every single fight night. It'll be fights that I, you know, the big fights that I find really interesting. I'm gonna start doing breakdowns on those and giving predictions. So I'll try to do a prediction. I'll see if I can get like a 90% prediction rate. So for all of you that got your DraftKings and all that good stuff, see if we can help you out. So, but I'll keep up with the percentage on that. I'm gonna see how high I can get my pick percentage when it comes to big UFC fights. And then I was talking to Stephanie and talking to Kevin about actually doing some UFC some Fight Companion podcast episodes. I think that would be fun to do, and we could have special guests and stuff, different people from the gym, people that you know and stuff, have or come over and do the Fight Companion. I think that would be fun. And and I got a couple other things. I'm not gonna say them yet, because I got one I want to say right now, but I think it's another cool thing to do for big UFCs. That would be a fun way for the team to watch the UFC. So give us a little bit of social interaction too, since we're all weirdos and that just go to the gym and lift weights or go to the gym and train. But yeah, hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you had a good New Year's Eve and everybody's safe and everything. And yeah, we'll be back open tomorrow. Today's January 1st, Monday, so we'll be open tomorrow, ready to get it and hit 2024 hard. And yeah, we'll start strong tomorrow. All right, see you guys.